Man, I'm still shaking my head about that story about that woman who was possessed and they found her levitating for 30 minutes. I'm going to get that psychiatrist. I've got to get him on. I wonder if there's any video of her floating. I mean, that's an absolutely stunning story. Open lines, next 3 hours, plus a special topic line for you. Have you ever looked at something that you really thought was there, whatever it might have been? And then you turned your head a little bit, you look back, and it wasn't there at all, whatever it might be. So I'm going to open up a special line tonight for those of you who have had that ability or who have seen things that merely disappeared or they weren't there later. I wonder what causes that. That's 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. This, of course, is Coast to Coast AM as we approach at least Pacific time, 11, 11, 11. I can't get away from it. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome. Where are you calling from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
All right. What's your name?
Christine.
Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
And it's Christine with a K. I really want to talk to your guest from before, but that's okay. I got a good
And I can't help you. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the Mansfield Reformatory, which is in Mansfield, it's one of the most haunted places in the world. Around Halloween time, they do kind of like a haunted house where they actually hire actors, and they put special effects in the Mansfield Reformatory, which I don't think needs it because it's just an eerie place to begin with.
Right.
And my sister and I stand in line for 2 hours. We finally get in there, and we're walking through solitary confinement. And we noticed that there was an actor in a black cape that walked from one cell to the other cell. And when we paced our heads in that one cell where the actor walked into, he was gone, disappeared, nowhere to be found. And I thought, well, probably because he had a black cape on. And I ended up talking a week later to the actual groundskeeper of the Mansfield Reformatory, and they said, hey, the actor that you had working in solitary confinement was awesome. It was just great special effects how he disappeared. And he went on to tell me that no actor ever wants to work in solitary confinement. And that was actually the guardsman that ended up getting murdered.
Oh my.
He always did rounds in the cell block just to make sure that these prisoners weren't attempting suicide. And somehow he ended up getting stabbed to death. So his spirit still roams those cells. And he told me that we actually experienced something that he still hasn't experienced. And it just creeps me out still to this day, knowing that we both saw that.
And when you saw him, what did he look physical to you or kind of misty?
I honestly thought it was an actor in a black cape, but this guy swore that no actor ever wants to work there. So I would say it looked like an actual person.
Man, you're lucky you got out of there.
Yeah, and luckily that I didn't get followed home from the spirit too, because I've heard stories where they could do that.
Sometimes they do. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Vinny. I'm from Commerce City, Colorado.
Yeah, Vinny.
And lately, me and my buddies have been having kind of an obsession with watching ghost videos on the internet.
Well, you know what? We all do that. I still do.
Yeah,
that.
Definitely. And two of them really stuck out to us.
What have you seen? I'll tell you the best ones I've seen.
Oh, yeah, the first one that I was going to say was the gnome one from Argentina.
Oh, that's the new one that's out. Yeah, we had it on the Coast to Coast website. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's like too small to be like a small person, you know? And it's just moving. I don't know.
The movement is really strange.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. And then the other one would be the Fallen Angel video.
Tell me about that one.
A while back. In a different language. They're in the woods.
Oh, and it looks like it's either a fallen angel or it could be an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of looks like Gollum.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, that's kind of scary, too.
Yeah, definitely. Even if that is fake, I mean, they did a great job on that one.
There are two ghost videos out there that I find to be remarkable. We've had them on the website over the years. One is there was a fatal car accident, and they towed the car to one of those demolition lots, and you can see the camera that overlooks the lot at night. You could see a spirit walking around that car. I mean, it's amazing. And somebody did die in that car accident.
Yeah, I saw that one yesterday. That one was.
And then there's another one where it looks like Henry VIII or the ghost of someone who looks like him standing by a door in an older type home. It's weird.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that one's kind of cool, too.
I was just calling to see if anybody had any more information on those two videos because they really, you know, caught me.
Which one really scared you? The one, the Fallen Angel one?
Yeah, definitely the Fallen Angel one. I mean, that one was really spooky.
Can you imagine being in the woods that, pitch black, and you stumble across something like that?
Man, I was going to plan a camping trip this summer, too, so.
I don't think you could. There's no way you would sleep in a tent.
Definitely not, no.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our next wild card line. Hello there.
Good evening, Mr. George.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. Always good.
That's good. Well, I'm just going to put you in the family and call you Uncle George next time I call in.
You can do that. I'd rather you call me Brother George, but Uncle George.
Oh, okay. We could do that.
All right, good.
I was looking on the internet, and I was trying to look up Sir George. What is his other website? Other than the free will one. Do you know?
I do not know.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking it up because you had him on it in January 22nd. Easy to remember because that was my wife's birthday. And I was, you know, real curious about the that generator that he was working on. So that's what I was researching on that.
Do a search on our website. Just type in the name, and if we had other websites listed that night, they'll all come up.
Oh, okay. And the other one more thing.
Sure.
Was it last night or the night before that you said you had some type of a recipe for cancer or something? Was that correct?
We had a guest on who claims that down in. I think it's Ecuador, that there is a cure for cancer. I don't promote it.
Okay. Well, I thought I heard because I was just coming out of the scale house because I drive trucks, and I had the radio turned down just in case they told me they needed to see me. So, all right. Well, that's all I had.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a great evening, George.
You too. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is George?
Yes, sure is.
Oh, hi, this is Jeremy calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Yeah, Jeremy, hi.
Hi, I just had something I wanted to run by you. First of all, it's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening to you for several years now, and I finally got through to talk to you, so that's great.
Glad you did.
And what I have to talk to you about is something that's been, it's kind of strange that's been happening. It started 2 weeks ago. I was with my son, and we were up at the Russian River, and we were looking for salamanders, believe it or not. And
I used to do that as a kid, loved it.
I know, exactly. That's why I took him to go do it. It's a great thing, bat and toads and everything else. And so we were looking around, and it sounded about 20 feet away to my right. I heard a really low-toned growl, and I know there's mountain lions in the area, so that kind of caught my attention.
Oh, sure.
And so we definitely, you know, we walked out of the area. We didn't run. We walked out of the area and just kind of went about our business. I didn't want to alarm my kid. So went about our business, and then we got out of there. And we came home a couple hours go by, and we're in his bedroom, and we're hanging out in his bedroom, and about 20 feet to my right again, now it would be in my living room, we hear this low-toned growl that actually almost sounds like a lion. It's very audible. It resonates through the walls. It actually like almost shakes the walls on a really low tone.
And it felt like it was in the house this time.
It felt like it was in my living room, 20 feet.
Oh my
to my
God.
Right.
Okay.
And he didn't hear the first one when we were out in the woods, but he heard the second one. He sprang right up. He's like, whoa, what's that? His eyes lit up. He's 5.5 years old, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, what's that? So, you know, of course, got up and go and kind of like look around. There's nothing there, of course. And as far as the whole hearing sounds like that goes, nothing else has happened since then. But, and this kind of turns into your topic of, you know, for the next 3 hours of, you know, seeing things out of the corner of your eyes.
That merely disappear when you look back.
Right. Ever since then, in my apartment, I've been seeing all kinds of weird things out of the corner of my eyes. I've seen just shadows moving, things where I can actually identify what it is out of the corner of my eye, but when I go to look, it's just not there.
See, what could truly be part of, I guess, our physical nature, we see things like that, blurs, but I also think that we are catching up with another dimension. And somehow the speed of the head as it turns catches at the right timing this other dimension. That's my theory.
There's been one other aspect to this whole thing, and this all started only 2 weeks ago. At the same time, I've been having all kinds of, like, lucid dreaming or OBEs or whatever you call it. I don't know. I just feel like over the past 2 weeks, it's been like a bombardment.
Well, a lucid dream is a dream that you know in the dream that you're dreaming.
Yes.
Okay? In OBE, that's totally different.
Now, would an OBE be like the sort of thing where, like, you're sitting down to go to bed, you're fully awake, you kind of look at the clock, see what time it is, and this is one of the things that happened, and it was 11:11, the next thing I know, I see my window open, and I go and step, and I fly out my window.
Oh, yeah, that could,
down the street.
Yeah, that could be an OBE.
Okay, and I pick up all kinds of details, stuff like, you know, what's on the awning of the mobile, it's like the things that cover the mobile gas station. I'm flying over that, seeing the AC units on the top of the building.
It's an exhilarating feeling, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's incredible. And just all the stuff tied in over the past 2 weeks, I just don't even know what to think about it.
Happen.
And I think my main question to you is, just because I know, like, your expertise in this whole area, is I'm going through a divorce right now. It's been over like a year. Could stress cause this, or is this something that's, like, actually happening?
Well, you know, you never know what stress will do to you, but it's also very possible that somehow it induced this OE and it happened to you.
Okay.
And I'm glad you experienced it. I did it only once when I was 11 years old. I got as high as the ceiling of my bedroom. That was it. I was never able to peer out beyond that. Let's go to the disappearance line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Haley from Hawaii.
Hey, Haley from Hawaii.
Well, I actually have two stories. I'll try to get one in, and if we have time for the second,
sure.
I'd love to share that one. The first one is I ran the child care program out of the Waikoloa up in the northern shore of the Big Island, and every morning on my way to work, I would see a very, very giant man, about 6'4", 6'6", beard down to his belly, very, very long fingernails, and all he wore was a little coconut covering his private part. And he had a little sash made out of maybe tea leaves and whatnot. And just whenever I saw him, I really had a good day. And he'd kind of raise a half coconut shell and do kind of a little routine in the air. And I noticed through time people would wave at him and certain people he would acknowledge. So I got to talking around the island, and it was supposedly, we called him the Coconut Man. And he was a man who came from great wealth and decided to go into a life of no talking to anybody and really existing off the land. And he'd live in lava tubes and he'd appear and he would really travel around the island all the time.
To each his own, huh?
Yeah. And every time I'd see him, I really would have a good day. Well, I found out that he really liked water and things to eat. So one day I, had my water bottles ready and had a couple peanuts and shells and a banana. And sure enough, I saw him. I pulled over to the side of the highway. I got out and I went to give him my stuff and didn't want my peanuts, I guess, because of the shells. It would create litter. But he did take my water and, I gave him a couple and he would go through this ritual and did we speak.
I was going to say, you no words, huh?
No words at all, but very powerful with just our communication through our vibrations and our deep look into each other's eyes. Well, I leave and I get in my car and you're pulling off a very busy, busy highway that everybody, it's one way into Kona, one way out. So one lane road, both ways. And so I go get in my car, put my seatbelt on. I look over my shoulder to, see if I could pull out, if it's safe. And he is nowhere to be seen. Just vanished.
What possessed you to even walk up to him in the first place?
I felt he did have a spiritualness about him, and it's on a very public highway, so I myself felt like I was in no danger. I also do Muay Thai, a martial art, kickboxing, so I did have a little bit of confidence that area.
Are you like, what kind of belt do they call that? For black belt for you?
I'm no belt. I was an ex-athlete swimmer, and then after I stopped swimming, I looked for something else, and Muay Thai master happened to be in Marquette, Michigan, living where I was, and I just trained under him for about a year. But my second story, I managed a camp in the Waianae Mountains of Oahu called Camp Timberline, and it is notorious for having some spirits, definitely haunted, and heard a little bit about it, but then moved on the camp full-time, had a couple weird experiences, and then one day I was hopping across the field coming from who is now my husband, his tent, and I saw this little boy. And that day, we had three different retreats going on at camp. We'd have spiritual, we'd have nonprofit educational, it just a mixed bag. So this kid's walking across the field, and I go to address him because it was more of an employee back roads of camp where sure. You really wouldn't see guests. And I went to say, hi, could I help you find your group? And the minute I went to talk to him, once again, just vanished before my eyes. The next day when a counselor came to check out, she said, Haley, I really need to talk to you, and it needs to be in private. And I said, okay, so now I'm thinking my interns were maybe partying too loud and too hard, and maybe they were in the hot seat. And she says to me, last night it was the Roosevelt High School, and they basically have a book club, and they have a Hawaiian master, a kumu, come and tell stories of ancient spirits and things like that. And she said, first of all, the guy who does it, who's been doing it 8 years, walked into this house that's a rental and said, I cannot speak here, I need to leave. And he leaves instantly. And she was like, whoa, what was that all about? But, she had like 20 teenagers in this house. She's going to go on with her retreat. Well, in the middle of the night, half of the group was downstairs, half of the group was upstairs. In the middle of the night, these kids were just woken up by lots of activity, voices, people chanting. And they woke up, and at the stairway of the house was just crowded with ghosts. These teenagers and a couple chaperones said, six left in the middle of the night, right then and there. Her and her husband were sleeping in the master bedroom, and what she told me was crazy. Her husband woke up in the middle of the night. They had a little toddler baby sleeping on the bed with them, and he woke up. He was having a horrible dream, and he woke up to a man holding his chest down, and another man was in the corner of the room calling their baby by name.
So these were not friendly entities at all, were they?
No, not from the sounds of this story. So then, and instinctually, this mom, Mother Instinct, kept pulling her baby because she felt her baby crawling because the baby was going to the man in the door. But she just kept it instinctually just keeping, on her baby.
I wonder where they would have taken the baby.
Well, yeah, who knows? Well, the husband freaks out, so now she's telling me this. She says, we need to get this house blessed. Well, that day earlier, there was another retreat, like I said, a Christian retreat.
You got 20 seconds, and we got to go.
They asked if they could bless the corners of the house. Well, they only could bless where they were having their retreat. So what we think is they banished all the spirits from that house, and while we didn't get this other thing blessed, they all went and partied in that house.
Well, that's very possible. They pushed them right to the other side. Very possible indeed. We'll be back. If you're not a member of StreamLink, well, you might want to go to the coasttocoastam.com website and join up. All kinds of great little surprises in store for you on StreamLink for Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back to the phones we go. We'll pick it up with our wild card line. Thanks for holding. You're on the air with us.
Well, good morning, boss. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
This is Utah Red. I've got a quick story and a philosophical question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie Black Dog?
Black Dog?
No, Black. Black Dog.
No, I have not.
Patrick Swayze played it. Anyways, about 5 years ago, I was driving through Pennsylvania on Interstate 80, and for about a short period of time of maybe a couple minutes, I was driving by myself, and there was a stranger that was sitting in my passenger seat. didn't say anything. Wearing over, you know, a hat, like a cowboy hat and a trench coat. And it startled me, but he was pointing in front, you know, just sticking his arm out, got his finger extended, pointing out toward the road. And I kind of felt a little odd, so I slowed down. And as I come around the bend, there was a car accident on the road in my lane and partially in the left lane. And at that time, there was a small family that was standing on the side of the road. If I had gone around that corner at the speed I was going, I would have killed every one of them.
Oh, my God.
But it was kind of interesting. You might hear it from other truck drivers. You might not. But, all right, tell us up a question.
You got it.
Excuse me. Where do you find a turtle with no legs?
Where do you find a turtle with no legs? Probably in some contaminated pond.
Nah, where you left him last. Hey, take it easy and have a good one. Talk to you later.
Okay, you Red. You got it. And I looked up that Patrick Swayze movie, Black Dog, where he was a truck driver. And it looks like an interesting movie. He's fighting for his life, my friends tell me, in spite of what you might hear with pancreatic cancer. And our prayers go out to him. Put him, George, on the prayer list tonight because I ran into him several months ago, and he looked tired. He didn't look like he had cancer, but I'm sure he probably did by that time. He was at the Greek restaurant that we go to every once in a while out this way. So we wish him well. Good person. Very good and very, very polite. And that's something out here in Hollywood. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rich in Youngstown, Ohio.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good, George. It is such an honor and privilege to talk with you tonight.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, definitely God's love and power and compassion radiates in your spirit. That is true.
I hope he keeps me going for a long, long time.
I called in tonight to share a story about Conneaut Lake Park in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And before I mention that, I wanted to say that your topic tonight about seeing things that disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a short story and submitted it to your Workers in the Light. I saw that on your webpage at the bottom.
For the sequel. Okay.
Yes. And I submitted a story called Blue Mountain State Park, and Bill wrote me back, and I received that email on Friday, and I'm really excited. And Blue Mountain State Park is in southern Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and we were walking around the area there on the equinox, and we had quite an experience. And hopefully your readers can read your new book as it comes out and read about that, hopefully. It's a marvelous state park just south of Pipestone National Monument. And that's another conversation, hopefully,
yeah,
that we'll have.
At that time, that's right.
That's right. Conneaut Lake Park is a very old amusement park. And we have a couple of health food stores here in Youngstown, and we were asked to go up to do a benefit there at the hotel. So we went up, and after the benefit was over, we were packing up, and we were one of the last people to leave. And I kept hearing this. I thought there was a dinner party going on in the hotel somewhere. I heard music and clinking of glasses and bringing things back and forth from the car. You know, I saw some lights in the window here and there. And the maintenance man who was there, just before we locked up the door, I asked him about the dinner party, and he said that there was no one else in the building. No one else in the building. And he went on to describe how he continuously sees lights on in parts of the building. There's no power provided to those parts of the building.
Jeez.
The old dining hall, there's music that's playing. They open up the doors and there's nothing in there. And it truly moved me because I know that I was in there by myself and I heard this full-blown dinner party going on. And what I realized later is that this park, which is on a beautiful lake in Pennsylvania, just over the border from Ohio, is sacred ground, and it's got some type of an interdimensional field that you can access that, and that these manifestations occur.
I wonder if it's a time warp.
There's definitely something there. I know when I lived in Sedona for 8 years, and I had quite a few experiences at the vortexes of Sedona, and underneath Sedona you have the second largest crystal field in the world, second only to Arkansas. And then you have the red rock, which is iron, and then you have the volcano tubes, which are made of basalt, and they're on a ley line right there. So you've got iron, you got crystals, you got a radio set.
Yeah, you got it all there.
And there's a vortex there, the very main one. It's not even on the tourist maps. It's called Rachel's Knoll. And I was put into a state of enlightenment bliss one day. The first time I was out there, the wind came up, and it just put me into a state of bliss. I've been very fortunate to experience these phenomena throughout my life. And I know that I was talking to my friend Benita about these experiences that we've shared, and she always said that it was because we didn't go with an agenda, and that we asked God to open our hearts and to show us the truth of what we were to experience, and then we were guided and led by Spirit, and so we were open to these manifestations.
And you know what? You can tell just by talking with you that you are enlightened. There's no doubt about it. Hey, thanks for the call and the stories. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Dale calling from Missouri.
Yeah, Dale. Whereabouts in Missouri are you?
I'm in Kansas City.
Okay.
When I was 19 years old in 1970.
Yeah, I'm getting a scratch from your phone. Let's see. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a regular wire phone.
I'll tell you what. I don't want you to hang up because you'll never get back. I'm gonna put you on hold. And Tommy, why don't you call him back, and call him back at his house, and we'll see if we can get a better connection for you, Dale. All right. Rather than the minute you hang up, you'll never get back in again. It could be 10 more years. I don't want you to wait with your story that long. The disappearance line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there,
George.
Yeah. Hi.
George, I'll be ever so curious if you remember this story.
Okay.
Last time I saw my mother-in-law, she was in the hospital. I had just won $500 in the lottery. I went to see her. They had just taken the tube from her throat. She couldn't speak. All she could do was hold up her left hand with her thumb up and her right hand with five fingers indicating the $500 I had just won that she heard about. And then a few days later, the poor woman passed away.
Uh-huh.
Sometime after that, a year or so, I was in my kitchen making a midnight snack. And I turned around, and there she was, same posture, thumb up and five fingers. I went into the bedroom. I told my wife, I just saw your mother. She did this, and I showed her thumb up and five fingers. My wife said, oh, you're nuts. George, the next day I won $500 on the lottery. But it gets better. Please tell me if you remember this.
I think I do.
Okay. Sometime later, another year or so, I'm in the kitchen yet again making another midnight snack. And I turn around, and there the dear woman is, yet again, same posture. Thumb up, five fingers. This night, I had company. And I'd given up my place in the bed for my wife's friend to take my place in the bed. And they were getting ready for bed when I walked in and said, I just saw your mother. She did this. My wife's friend remembered my mother-in-law and her passing and said, oh, Billy, how could you say such a thing? That's terrible. And she was a bit upset.
Yeah. She didn't know, did she?
No. Well, George, the next day, I won $500.
Amazing.
In the lottery. George, another thing I'll be curious about. The thread that ran through the show that I called in on was, does it run in families, the intuition, the gift?
And no doubt about it.
And I said to you, and I hope you will remember, that although I was sure that it runs in families, I was equally as sure that it runs to open hearts and open minds when they're together.
That's true.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
George, I love you. You do so much for this world and the inner peace of everybody you touch. Well, you're such a kindred spirit to me. We share another thing. Just hold on 1 second. I'm going to give you about 2 seconds of it.
Okay. I love it.
When I found out that
you're a little better than I am.
When I found out that you appreciated this instrument, which I've been playing for so many years, I played it to Sonny Terry once, and he gave me a great compliment.
I love it. Hey, the next time you run into the mother-in-law from the hereafter, and she holds up a 5 with some zeros after it, we're going to go in halves.
And to your caller in Hawaii, I'll bid malohia.
All right.
It's the Hawaiian word for peace.
You got it. Stay in touch. How about that? 5 with a bunch of zeros behind it. I'm going to buy that lottery ticket with him. No doubt about it. I made $42 today on my stock market. I bought 1 million shares of that company that plays with DNA. I'm not giving you the name because I just don't want to. But I made $42 today, and I'm a rich man. And I was going to take Tommy out to dinner tonight with it, but Tommy took it off my desk, and I haven't seen it yet. But I will get it back. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing, George?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Great. I had a story when I was, I think it was before I was a teenager. My mom and I were driving down near where the grade school was that I went at the time. And there was a kind of a pavilion out back park area. And we both of us stepped up in the sky, and we saw a huge four-engine plane. Looked like something older, you know, the propellers in it. And it was just...
Oh, we're losing you. All right, we'll try you. Nah, I can't. I can't get your number because you're gone. You're going to have to try to call us back somehow so we can get your story. And it sounded like it was going to be a neat one. Wildcard Line, hello there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Kathy of Pittsburgh.
Kathy, how are you?
I'm just fine. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wish I would have found this show 50 years ago instead of 4.
Well, we weren't on 50 years ago.
I know. It's been a long time. Hey, I wanted to know, do you have access that you can pull up on your home page those 4 the pictures from Tree Creatures?
Yeah, probably.
Can you pull that up and take a look at it real quick?
You want me to do it now?
Uh-huh. Because if you look right where on the very first picture there, when you pull it up, there is a nail head in that picture. And this isn't part of the growth that the gentleman was talking about. But if you look at the very top, and there's a small heart-shaped
all right,
picture.
Okay, I see the nail.
See the nail head?
Yep.
Okay, can you see the Indian head with the feathers down beside it and a little heart shape? And then a older gentleman with a beard and mustache and an eagle head?
Yep.
Can you see that in that little area?
Yep.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
I know it. It's funny how trees have, like, faces.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's what the gentleman was looking at. He's looking at the growth pictures from the comments, but that little thing just came out. I don't know if maybe that was something spiritual for him or something from the tree area, but I just thought that was really cool and wanted to share that with
you. Okay, and you're making reference to the email pictures that listeners send us, and this one is 2 or 3 days old. You can find it by just going to coasttocoastam.com. And just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see Tree Creatures, and just click that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello?
Hi.
You can hear me?
I can hear you well, loud and clear.
I'm sorry.
Why are you so surprised that I can hear you?
I didn't hear swoosh.
swoosh.
I have 2 things, but the really scary one. My name is Sarah Dorn, and I'm in Seneca, South Carolina.
All right.
I was a young girl. I hung out with my aunt. She was the youngest of my, you know, my mother was the oldest. She's the youngest. And so she was like a teenager, and I was in elementary school. And being shy and all that, I wanted some power. And she was into, like, witchcraft. And so was I, you know, everything, the book and all that. One night, I woke, and this thing is pulling my feet off the corner of my bed. Now, I can only tell you it was almost high as the ceiling.
And you could feel this?
Oh, my God. It was terrifying. And it had this really, really horribly red eyes.
What were you doing? Kicking, screaming?
No, I couldn't move. And it growled, and it, like, growled through the whole, like, shook the whole, my inner being.
A bad dream, no doubt.
No way.
Had to
no
be.
Way, because it took every ounce of my being to say, no, like that. And then, boom, it was gone. But this thing was huge, and you could, it felt like an animal man.
Was it trying to pull you, like, into the closet?
I don't know, but he wanted me for something.
Under
it wasn't
the bed?
Good. Oh, another one. I was 15. Well, that was when I was younger. When I was 15, it was a lover's lane. I had a boyfriend, you know, and it's like a circle.
You were underage then.
Well, just listen. I didn't do nothing.
All right.
Okay, so it's a dead end. It's a circle. It has an island in the middle of grass, and everybody's parked. And my boyfriend at the time had a truck with the cap on it. So we took the rug from out the inside and put it on top of the cap, and we would, you know, stargaze and kiss and all, you know, nothing big. There was a craft. This is before I even thought about anything with UFOs. This thing came down right above the treetops. Now, the treetops there were only maybe two stories, maybe a little more. And this thing was so huge. And I looked it up, you know, all these years on the net, and it's called a sports model, where it kind of, you know, looks like an eye and has a little, little dome on the top. And we were terrified. I mean, we jumped in that truck. I'm screaming, everybody, go! And then his leg was shaking, and, you know, his right leg, and I'm pushing it on the pedal. I didn't go back there until I was, like, 35. This guy was doing an investigation. He took me back there. I didn't want to go. He just go. It's all blocked off. And then when I looked, I said, that thing was huge. No wonder I was terrified. It was, like, 270, you know, like a 72-passenger bus.
That was a remarkable sighting.
Yes, it was two of them in a line, and three in a circle.
If we could find your boyfriend of the time, would he say the same thing about that story?
Of course. He was in Ronkonkoma, New York at the time, you know, when I was living there.
That's a great sighting. Great sighting today. Hey, thanks. Thanks, by the way. But, you know, you talk about things when you're younger. Have you ever gone back to look at the house that you, if assuming you've had many places that you've lived, the house that you were a little kid in, have you ever gone back to look at it? Because when you were a little kid, no matter how small that house was, it always seemed big to you, didn't it? I did that back in Detroit years ago. 7 Mile and Lauder is where I used to live. And, man, I got to tell you, that was one small little house we were all raised in. It was teeny. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. The disappearance line, that's still there. We'll give you that number again when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.